Well, good morning, everybody. This is Mike Johnsard from PCI Midwest, and I'd like to welcome you to today's podcast. Today's podcast, we have on the phone Rob Walrath from Gage Brothers and Chris Wedholm from Betterstone. Rob, why don't you give us a little self-introduction there?
Morning, Mike. Yeah, thanks for lining this up. Today's podcast is going to be with myself from Gage Brothers. I've been with Gage for 15 years and been in the precast industry for a whopping 33 years. I work for Gage Brothers Concrete Products based out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We've been making architectural and structural precast products, and our company is over 100 years old. 2 years ago, we celebrated our 100th anniversary, and it's just been an honor to work for them. We make structural and, like I said, architectural and structural precast products, and I want to introduce Chris Wedholm from Betterstone Company. Chris, why don't you give a little bit of history on your company and yourself?
Yeah, good morning, Mike, and thanks a lot for having us this morning. I started in the architectural sales business in 1993, and I've been with the Vetter family since 1999. The Vetter family has been in the stone business since the 1880s. So currently, we're about the eighth generation involved in the quarrying production of cut stone for commercial residential work around the world. We also have another plant in operations in Alabama that was acquired in 1997 that is very similar to our Minnesota, where we do, like Rob, you know, we're full-scale operation. We do all of our own estimating, shop drawings. All of our work is done internal. Our quarries are on the property. And exclusively, we work with our own materials. We do not work with any other stones.
Perfect. Chris, when you say you guys have been around since 1880s, right, doing stone?
Yep.
You know, that brings up, I asked Tom Kelly, president of Gage, to kind of give me his two cents on relationship with Gage Brothers and Betterstone. And it really went back to, I'd say, 2000, 1999, and there was an opportunity for Gage and Betterstone for Allianz Life. Prior to that, 1984, early 80s, we did some granite-clad precast and did a lot with that. Plaza 7 in Minneapolis, the Colonnade in Minneapolis, St. Paul Companies, some other U.S. Mint work. Never did any limestone-clad precast. So we had that opportunity with Allianz Life, and we quickly saw the similarities between Gage Brothers and Betterstone. Family-owned company, owned and operated, and just really saw, you know, that we really had a great relationship to build here, and I guess we could say we never looked back. That Allianz project that we did, Chris, that was about, do you remember what that was back in 2000? I think it between that one and there's an Allianz 2, we got over 100,000 square foot of stone on those two projects.
Sure. And the Allianz 2 in 2000, my first few meetings with Tom, we saw the similarities and we both realized how we could both mutually benefit, but also at the end of the day, the client could, because we were going to be able to, you know, McGuff wanted this building to be enclosed quickly, and stone on precast as a method of making the process go faster turned out very well. All the other trades were able to get in behind us rather quickly, and it just worked very well.
So let's talk about stone. Why would someone use stone on their building? I'm going to get into the benefits of why marrying the stone with the precast. So, Chris, you talk about why. What's the benefits of using limestone on a building?
Sure. Well, for what we find with when we're using when stone is on precast, and like on our projects with Gage, the word that always comes to mind is efficiency. The panels are going on the building. You have we're fabricating pieces. There's a lot of like-sized pieces, so it makes it efficient for in Rob's plant when they are taking the stone out of the crates and putting it into their panels, where there's just not a lot of confusion. There's not any ambiguity. It's pretty straightforward. And also, like for in those early days of the products, we just were able to, you know, better schedules, and a few of our earlier clients were, you know, they're more than pleased. You know, more than one occasion with McGuff, one of the project managers said, "You guys really make us look good." That's
so,
a great feeling.
So the big thing with stone, the big thing with stone is the aesthetics, right? A lot of variation, which is what architects like. It's a beautiful product. So when you say a benefit of stone is the variation, the different options, the different colors.
Mm-hmm.
Now marrying that with precast, you take the the ability to take little pieces of stone, relatively speaking, 2 foot by 4 foot, let's say, you put those in a precast panel, and now you make that big panel, say a 10 foot by 30 foot panel, and you put that up and it goes up real quickly. So that's the benefit of a stone-clad precast. Being able to take the aesthetics and close the building quickly, like you said, Chris, and getting the beauty of the stone in it. I want to go from there to talk about the process. Early on in a project, you know, Gage, people have blamed us or accused us that we pick the stone. We don't pick the stone. We work real close with an architect early on in a project. But bring Chris in or any other, you know, an architect says, hey, I want to look at limestone on this job. So, Chris, why don't you talk a little bit about how you work early on in the process with an architect, you know, getting stone selected?
So when we start working with the architects, our first thoughts are, you know, what are your design intentions? What color range are you thinking about? Are you thinking of a flurry cut or a vein cut? They're two different directional cuts of the material. Most of our project with Gage have been either a vein cut, and it's a matter of doing a small sampling process, 12 by 12s, which usually evolves into, you know, a mock-up. Or in some cases where people would come to our plant in Mankato and they'll review slabs. So more importantly, as we have that process with the designers, we want to know what you like, but more importantly, we want to know what you don't like. So it's not going to evolve and be on the project. So, you know, it's very clear for the architect. Everybody signs on the slabs. And that way, we are in control of how we're doing the blending and the creating the range for the project. On Rob's end, on the Gage end, when the stone shows up, there's no aesthetic ability. There's no reason for them to be doing any sorting or color range. It's all done by us. They're taking the stone per piece mark and putting into the panels. Another aspect with stone on precast, which we find, is our tolerances are significantly tighter than when we do a traditional handset project. Our pieces have to fit into a box, and we can't even creep, you know, 1/6, right, Rob, 1/16th of an inch, you know, over a panel. That's, yeah. So we're doing a plus, zero, minus, a 16th for fabrication tolerance, a lot tighter than the industry standard. It's pretty tight.
Let's go back to that mock-up process, Chris. We talked about mock-up process, and I chuckle because I want to bring up a project pretty near and dear to my heart and yours, the Target Field, the Twin Stadium. Early on in that process, the Twin Group ownership went down to your plant. We were part of that. Wanted to look at stone. They wanted this to look like it was a big building with big stone, you know, really fit into the area down there. And we had you guys set up some, you know, stone on a mock-up, a dry stone. So explain that a little bit. I chuckle because I'm going to get to the funny part, but go ahead.
Yeah, so we ended up in the poll ads, essentially, and Jerry Bell and the Twins wanted, you know, indigenous material, but also something that was different and unique in look. So they chose it's called the Quarry Creek. It's the top of the block. So if you look at Target Field, you can see that the pieces are undulating, but also it's uneven. It's, you know, and also there's a consistently inconsistent pattern in the thickness of the material. You know, Quarry Creek was chosen as the field for 80% of the project, and then we have a honed band that's in between. We had never done a project with panels in precast until this project came along, which was 115,000 square feet of stone. So literally, right, we're teaching ourselves, we're learning how to do it as we were, you know, in design. And in the process of getting the project, but we had quite a memorable meeting with Jerry Bell. I'll let Rob.
So early on in the process, Chris, they picked the Quarry Creek. That was great. Kind of some design parameters where they wanted the darker color stone at the bottom of the building, and as you went up the building, a lighter, you know, less amount of that. What do you call it? The French toast color, you know, because it's kind of brown and yellows and no.
A little bit butterscotch. Yeah, a little bit of the darker and the lighter colors. Yeah.
Probably the biggest. Sorry, Chris. The biggest item that we had to decide that we spent a lot of time up front is the size of the joints between the stone. We set up mock-ups on the site where the current field is now, but early on, dry stack stone. We put them at 3/8 inches wide, 1/2 inch wide, 3/4 inches wide. Early on in the project, we said with this size of a panel, we need 3/4 inch precast to precast joints. That was a given. Couldn't change. So we set up all these stones in the mock-up. back and forth. We made precast mock-ups with the stone in it down in Chris's plant. They came down there to look at it. We sent those up to the site. We built a big panel. And at the end of the day, Jerry Bell said, and this was the architecture group there, 7-8 architects from HOK Sports, trying to go back and forth on what the stone-to-stone joints wanted to be within the panel. And Jerry Bell, president of the Twins, said, hey, isn't this building supposed to look like big blocks of stone stacked on top of each other? And everybody kind of looked at each other. Yes. Well, then the precast, Rob says the precast joints have to be 3/4. Well, am I overthinking this thing, or am I just that, you know, simple that why wouldn't we make the stone-to-stone joints exactly the same thing in 3/4? So end of story, 3/4-inch precast-to-precast joints and 3/4-inch stone-to-stone joints. You had all these architects in the room, but it's a funny story that I'll never forget. It was a great, great process and met a lot of great people on that project. All right, so we go from a mock-up. We get everything established, and let's, Chris, jump into of how we do the process of getting the stone from you and into the panel. I'll start with our process. We have a job. We know it's stone. It's going to be better stone. We do our layouts. We lay out the pieces. We lay out the stone in there. We assign a different size. We know what the design is, whether it's a 1 foot wide or 2 foot wide by 2 foot long or whatever. We draw those layouts. We get those approved. We send those down to Vetter Stone. And, Chris, why don't you take it from there?
So we, you know, so prior to when the process is beginning, you know, we have an established color range, which has already been determined at that time. So we are now, we take the blocks, and we have a 1,000-acre quarry, and we, our blocks are typically 10 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet. So they're rather large, and we gang saw them, you know, to the desired thickness. And then we also are at that point where, as we go through that block, we're taking out part of the range that's acceptable, and we're putting that into the lines for production. And like I said earlier, with our tolerances, you know, we are fabricating, like Target Field is a good example, where these panels were 5 foot by 4 foot. I mean, it's a 20-square-foot piece of stone weighing over 1,000 pounds. There's 13,000 pieces of stone like that on the project. So, you know, we obviously have to make sure that everything is color-wise correct and fabricated to tolerances, which works for Rob and their plant. And, you know, Target Field, we were able, you know, through our past experience with other projects that we've worked with Gage, you know, there's other people who work at the company besides Rob and us, and there's a whole layer of people who do a fantastic job in drafting plant production on both of our ends. But there's just a lot of synergy and communication about no one's afraid to pick up the phone and speak to someone. And if you have a question, ask. Don't be afraid to ask away. And that,
exactly right.
And it's also sequencing what's needed. You know, Rob doesn't need the top of the building first. He needs the bottom of the building, you know, for they're doing their panels. And it just went, you know, I think that Target Field, just because of, you know, we all are familiar with it, but we have over 600,000 square feet of stone that we've fabricated for Gage, which equates to about 375 truckloads of stone. And Rob, in 375 loads of stone, we have zero rejection. I mean, everything has been fit, color range.
Yeah, we had one stone on Target Field that up towards the top of the building on the west side that was a little,
yep.
Of course, I don't forget that one, that was a little dark. And we went up there and did a little sandblasting, and you take that brown color off. And if you want to say anything that's been rejected, that's as far as I'll take it. So I'm gonna step back a little bit, Chris, and go back to our process. So you take our shop drawings, you do your shop tickets, you number them, you push them through the quarry. I'm gonna short circuit that a little bit. The stone arrives to us, crated, labeled, marked. It's also got holes in the back of the stone. Minimum two sets of pair of holes in the back of each stone, probably one per square foot. We get that stone, we lay those down. So we have a piece drawing that's got all those mark numbers. Let's say a piece mark is piece one, and it's 10 foot by 20 feet. We know that we got to find the 40 pieces of stone that go in that, call it stones 1 through 40. We find those stones, we lay them out. And again, when Chris was talking about tolerances, we have a panel that's 10 foot by 20. In the field, they can push and pull, and they can, you know, on a handset stone job, they can fudge some stuff and trim it and grind it to make it fit. Ours can't do that. They have to fit in that 10-foot by 20-foot precast panel mold. So that stone does have to be really tight. We set that stone down in the form. We install a plastic vapor barrier on top of the stone because the coefficient of expansion between stone and precast is different. So you have to have that bond breaker. We found that one out long, long time ago. You have to have a mechanical tie because the back of that stone is sawn, so it's a pretty smooth stone. We hammer in these anchors, and then that's what it mechanically connects the precast to the stone. You strip that panel out of the form. We know that that's panel number one, gets yarded, and then eventually they get shipped to the job site. From there, then we install the precast, and then all those stone-to-stone joints get caulked. People have asked if we can mortar those. Chris, have you ever experienced anybody that wants to mortar those joints, or have you ever done that in precast?
No, not in precast because, mortar joining is just takes, is a long time with scaffolding, and, it just is a longer of a process where with precast, it's a more efficient just to be able to do the soft joint.
Correct. We caulk them, and we've had that request also, but I just think that's a bad thing for the same reason, the expansion and contraction of the stone versus the concrete. It would could do havoc on those mortar joints. I'm going to go from there to talk a little bit about our history. You said our first job we did with you was, early 2000 was the Alliance One, and then in year 2000, what was the second one? 2005. So those
2005,
over those
yep.
were... 2005, we got over 100,000 square feet of stone. So like Chris said, we've got over 600,000 square feet of stone for jobs that we've done with Vetter Stone Company. Minnesota State Capitol, I think, is the most recent one. And again, I'm going to talk about projects that I know of. I handle a lot of the projects in Minneapolis and the Minnesota area. We did the two. That was 20,000 square feet of stone. That one, another one was a really tight tolerance.
Real specific.
You want to talk about that one a little bit, Chris?
Sure. The architect wanted, John Picard's firm out of Connecticut, BWBR, wanted a specific color range that was unique to the not just your typical Casota type color that you notice that all over in the upper Midwest. They wanted something a little bit unique, a little bit grayer in tone. So we were able to extract a handful of blocks that half the block was the right color range and the other half of the block was unacceptable. So we had to core these blocks down to a smaller size, and we, created a mock-up, and Rob and I were there the day that the architect, we presented the mock-up was to about 40 people came for that meeting. We had 30 pieces of limestone in the mock-up, and one piece was deemed wasn't the right color range, which for us was, we were glad to, there was only one piece, but we also, we knew what they wanted. The product was not nuclear. I call it nuclear track. It wasn't even fast track.
Right.
I mean, we were able to be on. Yeah, we are. Actually, we.
I have a question for you. So it seems to me that what I've heard over and over again on this podcast is talking about relationships, right? Talking about the relationship between Gage and Vetter, between Gage Vetter and the design communities and that kind of thing. How important, I guess, maybe because of time, maybe we try to wind up here, try to figure out or understand the relationships that you guys each have, with each other. How important is that relationship in designing with precast between each other, the design communities, and the end user?
That's a great point, Mike. You talk about relationship. We knew back working with that company in 2000, family-owned business, got a great relationship with Chris or created a great relationship with Chris. Our companies work hand-to-hand with each other. If we have a problem, they fix it. If they have a problem, they fix it. We work back and forth with each other. And when we get with a client, they see that. They see that relationship. They want to work with us. They see the relationship between Vetter and Gage and how we work well to each other. And we know our strengths. We know their strengths. They know ours. And it just works really well. Chris, offer you 2 cents.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like what Rob said, I think that the key is just understanding. And like you had mentioned, Mike, about the design community, that's real. It's real specific. The architect has a design intention and we're going to follow through with it. We are, in limestone and we live and die by color. And by, what's been approved for a particular project. And every project is different. We are able to articulate that for Rob's end, where there's no worry of, you know, how they have to sort or place, you know, our panels into their system. And that it just makes for an efficient use of everyone's time. And I have to say, you know, in the rest of the industry, we've worked with other precasters around the country where, you know, that is a, it's a different process. Whereas just for the fact that we've done so many projects together, there's just a lot of like Rob will say, our people internally will work with the same people. So when they're doing another project, it's another project, but the same people, everybody's in communication. You know, Rob and I are CC'd on things, but you know, the project just takes on its own life too. And it just has worked well. We've been, the work has spoken, you know, I think it's, we're, you know, I like to think we're all fairly modest about this, but the work speaks for itself. The finished product and the compliments that have been given to us, I mean, it's exciting, but also, you know, I'd just rather let the work speak for itself, not about us.
Exactly. So in conclusion, on my end, go ahead, Mike.
I guess my point would be, you know, that there's probably no better recommendation, or if you want to see the job, right, go head down to Target Field, put your butt in the seat, support our twins, and you know, take a look at all of the great precast that's there, not just the architectural but the structural as well. But I think that's a great thing. You want to go down and touch and feel and get a first-hand experience, probably not a better one out.
In conclusion, I want to really thank Chris for joining me today to talk about Stoneclad Precast and Better Stone. And it's been a great relationship, and I just want to say that it's been enjoyable. And I don't see either one of our companies going anywhere for a long time, and I hope we do a lot of projects together in the future.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're just beginning. You know, it's just beginning. We've done a lot of work together, but, you know, there's going to be some future great projects. We look forward to future work with Gage Brothers.
Well, Rob, Chris, thank you very much for your participation today. This has been wonderful.
Welcome.
And I look forward to, as well as I'm sure quite a few people look forward to, continued relationships between Better Stone and Gage Brothers, as well as a continued precast project. So thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time today, and have a great day.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care.